Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. This Heritage Radio Network program is brought to you by Edwards of Surrey, Virginia. The Edwards family has joined Heritage Foods USA and Newman Berkshire Farms to develop an all-natural product line featuring Serrano hams, Berkshire smoked slice and slab bacon, and Berkshire smoked sausage links. These new products are produced exclusively from purebred, six-spotted Berkshire pigs raised completely outdoors on independent family farms. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. For more information about Edwards and Sons, visit edwardsvaham.com. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring sustainability, local foods, and other forward-thinking schools of culinary thought to the minds and kitchens of everyday folks. Our conversations cover the entire spectrum of food enthusiasts, from renowned culinary masters to moms on a budget. Today, we'll be talking the Brooklyn Food Coalition. Boy, time flies. On May 2, 2009, hundreds gathered in New York's finest borough to talk, listen, and interact about the good food movement. Almost 1 year later, we have the Brooklyn Food Coalition. In the studio, we have the heartbeat of the organization, Adriana Velez, Brooklyn Food Coalition Communication Manager, and Erica Lonesome, BFC Outreach Manager. Welcome to Hot Grease, guys.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Adriana. You were on Hot Grease, what, like my fourth show?
Back in the fall.
I know. So welcome back, Erica. Welcome.
Thanks.
So the first question is, how was the conference birthed? I think a lot of people equate the Brooklyn Food Conference with Park Slope Food Co-op. So give us some background on how the conference was birthed.
It did start with a committee of the Park Slope Food Co-op talking about the idea of having a conference, and the idea just kept getting bigger and bigger. I think the more people heard about it, the more people wanted to participate. The conference organizers were able to recruit via the Park Slope Food Co-op, but they wanted the conference to be about much more than Park Slope and much more than the Park Slope community.
So tell me about the time frame in planning the conference, and also one of the general coordinator and organizer, Nancy Gromer, and her involvement in the...
Well, the conference idea started in Nancy Romer's backyard, as legend has it, out on her deck. And she was the de facto leader of the conference. A lot of the meetings were held in her home. She went around recruiting people, talking them into signing up for countless volunteer hours, making this conference happen.
I know we have people. As you know, we have people from Brooklyn all the way to San Francisco listening to Hot Grease. You have to give us a background on Nancy.
Nancy Romer. Okay. She is a psychology professor at Brooklyn College. She has a background in an organizing. She's belonged to a union, and she's done a lot of, like, other kinds of social movement organizing, workers' rights, that sort of thing. She came to food organizing through some of the work that she did in South America, Bolivia, I believe.
Gotcha.
And she saw how important food was to human rights. And that's what brought her into the food movement.
Let's talk the energy of the conference. Erica, some of the conference attendees and workshop folks have actually been on Hot Grease. What were some of your favorite topics or sessions at the conference?
Well, it's interesting because I actually didn't go to much of the conference.
Oh, you were planning.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. So I started off with the conference. I moved to Brooklyn in January of 2009.
And
I was looking for work, and so I was and I was actually at a membership meeting for joining the co-op. And oh, okay. Nancy came in and was looking for volunteers, and that's how I got involved. By the time the conference actually came around, though, I still wasn't working, so I'd just thrown all of my time into volunteering for the conference. I spent most of the day in the exhibit hall, helping to sort the tables out and helping to make sure people got to where they needed to go. I heard actually a lot about what the conference was about, but I spent most of my day working, actually.
Well, that's good. I must say, I attended the conference, and I just cannot believe that it was almost a year ago. It seems like time flies. But some of my favorite ones, and some of the people who have been on the show, Seas for Haiti. What's his name? Oh my gosh, it's escaping me. He did a workshop, a panel on food rebellions. He's been on the show. LaDonna, I just went back and realized that LaDonna Redman was actually at the conference. I didn't realize that until today.
One of our plenary speakers.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I must have missed that. And the BrooklynFoodConference.org is actually still up, and you guys have speeches from quite a few of the folks.
Right. If you check out the blog section, Paige Churchman did a painstaking job of transcribing all of the speeches.
Wow. Yeah. I did not realize that. Mm-hmm. Talk about the energy after the conference and leading up to birthing the now Brooklyn Food Coalition.
Well, there was a lot of positive energy resulting in the conference, and a lot of people left wanting to find out what was next and what they could do to participate in the food movement. And we had actually, the planners of the conference had been having conversations about forming a coalition. We held back because we really felt like we needed to focus on putting on a conference. And if the voice of the people said, let's start an organization, then we would go with that after the conference. And that is what happened. We had a little break to recover from planning the conference, a much-needed break.
And then, how many attendees? I'm sorry, because I think I want to give people the scope of how many people attended the conference.
We were able to count about 3,000 attendees. That does not include all of the volunteers who helped that day.
Wow.
Numerous. And then all the people who just kind of wandered in and didn't necessarily register or whatever. So at least 3,000.
Yeah, I mean, all the social media outlets were buzzing completely about the conference. And after the conference, a lot of things or people that I met at the conference, I started to see them being more involved in different organizations and other events going on in Brooklyn. Erica, can you talk a little bit about the Brooklyn food system in general and some of the organizations or people that are doing work, such as Brooklyn Rescue Mission and the Crop Mob? I know you did one of the Crop Mobs at I forget the name of the high school with BK Farmyards.
It was High School for Public Service.
How was your experience at the Crop Mob? And I know some of the people attending the Crop Mob were actually probably at the conference and part of the coalition in general.
Yeah, I believe some of those people were. The Crop Mob was basically an opportunity for people to get involved in urban agriculture. So the Crop Mob at High School for Public Service was sponsored by BK Farmyards. And BK Farmyards has been really lucky to be able to have the space in front of High School for Public Service in Wingate to be able to use to create an urban farm. So there were folks who were there helping to build raised beds. There were some of the kids from the school were there. I had a 12-year-old explaining to me what pollination was about.
Oh, wow.
So, that was pretty fantastic. And a lot of the things that people have been inspired to do around Brooklyn have been related to the excitement they got out of working with the Brooklyn Food Conference and the coalition.
Cool. So we're actually going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with more from the ladies of the Brooklyn Food Coalition.
Thing I'll do is rush straight
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.com. We're chatting with Brooklyn Food Coalition, and their May 6th anniversary party is coming up. And you've been listening to Erica Lonesome and Adriana Velez. They're sharing the growth, power, and vision of the progressive grassroots organization that is transforming food systems in Brooklyn. So let's talk online communities and the good food revolution and what Brooklyn Food Coalition is trying to do online. Miscommunications Director.
Yeah. Okay. We made the first step in bringing the food movement online. It's already online, but the Brooklyn Food Coalition's version of it, by putting our instead of setting up another WordPress site, which would have been a lot easier in some ways, we went out on a limb and put ourselves on the Ning platform, which enables social networking. There's a lot that you do not need to participate in social networking in order to get a lot out of the website. But the reason why we wanted to go with social networking is so that we could enhance people's ability to communicate with each other. They could form their own groups. They could plan things with each other. They could share information. They could post their own blog posts. They could post links. There's a lot you can do with this site that is about bringing the voice of BFC members online in a very democratic way that is not as possible through kind of a top-down website.
And we know that with community organizing and the grassroots stuff that Brooklyn Food Coalition is doing, that everyone is not online. And as the outreach coordinator, I know, Erica, there are some things that BFC has in the makings to build a stronger traditional community organizing or community activism amongst our members. Can you talk a little bit about some of the traditional things that are going on the ground?
Well, we have neighborhood groups that are really the heart and soul of the organization. They are based in several different neighborhoods across Brooklyn. We hope to be able to expand to more, but right now we're trying to get it right in the few neighborhoods that we have. And in those neighborhood groups, a lot of people are trying to be really cognizant of the fact that not everybody is going to be on email. Not everybody's going to be all that interested in participating on the website. And so what they've been working on is, for example, the Bed-Stuy Food Council, which is one of the groups, neighborhood groups of the Brooklyn Food Coalition, has set up their own phone number so that they have a way that people can call and get information without having to be on email. Some of the other groups, such as the Sunset Park group, have been doing a lot of traditional on-the-ground community organizing, door knocking, talking to friends, putting up flyers at churches. And so there's a number of different ways that the community groups have been trying to recognize the fact that there is that not everybody is going to be on email, not everybody is going to be able to be organized in that way, and it's important that we don't forget about everyone. It's important that we don't just limit ourselves to people who are digitally connected.
Totally. And one of the great things, Eric and I, we're both at Bed-Stuy, had a neighborhood event this weekend, a grub party, which actually, I think Anna LaPay came up with the whole concept, and Brian Terry came up with the whole concept of grub parties. And that was a great example of not having a community online, but being on the ground and inviting people to eat and talk about what's going on. And it was great, Erica. The conversation we had at the end about how to ask your bodega to add something. It was a very interesting conversation, like, oh, bodega, can you add 2% milk? So it wasn't just eating, but it definitely was a conversation about making real change in the community. I want to talk about something that we've talked about, Erica and Adriana, about how people enter the good food movement or the food activism movement. Some people say that, we don't want foodies a part of this. Some people say, yeah, come on, foodies, be a part of what we're doing in changing the food system. And I just want to hear your thoughts about the label foodie, And are foodies activists, and can activists be foodies?
Right. Yeah. Well, my perspective on that is that of a, you know, I started out as a foodie. So I have great sympathy for that particular group. I think we need everybody. I think we find a number of ways to appeal to a lot of different people to help build the movement. I'm thinking now of ways that we can kind of entice people who are digitally inclined or foodies with little little flyers that you can post to the web to your refrigerator, things like that, to bring them into the organization as a source of information and a source of fun. You know, the more parties we throw, the better. But it's a way to get people engaged in the organization. They get some sort of reward for engaging with the organization, and then little by little, hopefully, they become more invested in participating in the actual on the ground organizing. But that's just one way to get to enter the food movement. I know Erica has came to the food movement in a completely different way.
I come to social justice in general through having worked with people who are homeless, and all the work that I've done pretty much since 2001 has been geared towards that. People who are homeless, working on this myths and misconceptions about homelessness, about who people are that end up homeless, and that's been the crux of my work for many, many years. I'd never even heard the term foodie until I moved to New York.
Wow.
I wasn't familiar with it because I really honestly didn't know all that much about food justice either, which still at this point, sometimes you say food justice people and they don't have any idea what
right.
you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So I say all that to say that when I first started doing this work, I did it as a way of, as an extension of my work with people who are homeless, because access to healthy food, access to nutrition information, access to food for their children is something that is a big aspect of poverty and of homelessness. I've also, you know, like I think everybody was an environmentalist in college and did a lot of those different things when I was younger. And this was a way to join together a lot of different things that were important to me. And I think that's probably true for a lot of people. People who are interested in climate change, people who are interested in immigration issues, people who are interested in urban agriculture, all have this connection to food. We all have to eat. So to me, that's the way for me that I entered, and I think that's the way that a lot of people enter, is that food is just such a basic right that fighting for food justice is not just for foodies or not just for social workers. It's something that we all need to do because it's something that affects all of us.
You see, that was great. That was exact. You summed it up. And those are the people, and that's how we want to get people involved in the Brooklyn Food Coalition. I know some people are listening, probably cringing at the word foodie, but hey, it's reality. Adriana is laughing because some people hate that word, but it is what it is. We're going to take a quick break and come back with the Hot Five with the ladies of the Brooklyn Food Coalition.
Straight.
Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced by Jack Inslee and engineered by Nat Wiener. This program is sponsored by Edwards of Surrey, Virginia. For more information about S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, visit edwardsvaham.com. Let me give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York. We're getting ready to chum yum yum down on some pizza from Roberta's. They're the location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. Newsflash. Brooklyn Food Coalition loves a party. And Adriana and Erica are going to hit us with all the reasons to celebrate with us on May 6th. They're going to hit us with the Hot Five. I'm hot. The Hot Five is a rundown of five things on fire in the good food movement. Influencers, farmers, celebrities, business owners, and chefs dish on their favorites. Ladies, five reasons for folks to come out on May 6th and celebrate with Brooklyn Food Coalition. Number five.
All right. Well, we're going to have some great music. There's going to be dancing. We have two awesome DJs. DJ Nicodemus and I forgot the other one, but Frederick is going to kill me. two amazing DJs who are going to be spinning the tunes for you. That's one.
Number four on coming to the Brooklyn Food Coalition anniversary party.
It's going to be an opportunity for people to recognize the amazing work that's going on in the neighborhoods on the ground based in food work. We've got neighborhood groups in, and I'm not going to name them all because I'll forget one and then people will be mad at me, but we got neighborhood groups all over central Brooklyn, all over Brooklyn, and the people who our volunteers are doing just the most amazing work in their communities to really try and get their neighbors involved in changing their food system and looking at what's there and what's available and being able to have some sort of say and how their families and their neighbors are being fed. The party on May 6th will be a great opportunity to recognize that work.
Number three on the Brooklyn Food Coalition Hot Five list.
Okay. Well, I think that's the number one reason.
I just told you that.
Okay. In no order.
In no particular order.
It's in no particular order.
That's
it's just a
first
countdown
thing that I thought of. So.
No, that
it's
is
always the foremost on my mind.
We cannot forget that one.
I'll say it twice.
As the resident foodie, I'm going to put a word in for the local business, Brooklyn business based food we're going to have. I don't have a list yet, but we're going to have dinner supplied by a number of like-minded Brooklyn businesses, restaurants.
Cool. Tell us really quickly the location and the time before we move on to number two and one.
All right, 388 Atlantic between Hoyt and Bond.
I was going to make that number two.
Oh, you're going to make it number two? We could definitely come up with something else. We could come up with something else, definitely. So 388, and what time?
6:30 to midnight.
Okay. So number two, Erica, hit us with number two.
Well, I just wanted to add about 388. We've been blessed to have this space that we've been able to have meetings at, where we've been able to celebrate with one another at 388. Melissa Ennen, who's the owner of the place, has been insanely gracious with our ability to be able to use the space. Other organizations have been able to use the space for small amounts of fees, and I feel like it's really important to get that out there because she's really enabled us to continue the work that we need to do. And 388 is just a beautiful space that we hope to be able to use for a while to come.
Yeah, I think a few people that have definitely been on this show or other shows on the network have had events or been to 388. So if you're listening, you're in Brooklyn, you're looking for something cool to do, check out 388. We have to figure out their website. What's their website, Erica?
It's www.eventsonatlantic.com.
Cool. So number one in no order. I hope you guys say not the number one reason, but the person that's going to be there that people love in Brooklyn.
Anna LaPay will be at the at the party. She'll be reading from her new book, Diet for a Hot Planet. It's going to be really exciting. We're so lucky to have her as a local food person who's known nationally for all of her great work on food justice, climate justice, agricultural issues. So having Anna there is going to be really exciting, and I hope that people come out and have a chance to get their book signed by her and hear some of the great things she has to say.
And full disclosure, I feel like I need to say that I actually work for Brooklyn Food Coalition.
I was getting ready to say that.
I was like,
it's
I guess I need to out Nicole. Yeah, I have to say, and I am honored to be a part of Brooklyn Food Coalition because I believe in what Brooklyn Food Coalition can grow to be. So I'm very excited, and I think if we have people in other states that are listening and interested in Brooklyn Food Coalition and the work, you should, you know, check us out online. And if you want to do a conference in your neighborhood, be it big or small, I say start there. Have a conversation and talk about what's going on and come up with solutions. So I think actually we actually have a gift for our guests sponsored by Zagat. The giveaway today is New York City's Food Lover's Guide. Can we get a producer? Can we get a hand clap? No hand clap. Okay.
Yay.
Yeah. We have a homemade hand clap. Zagat helps you find, Zagat's New York City Food Lover's Guide is a one-stop resource to locate exotic ingredients, select the perfect caterer, shop for cookwares or supplies, and choose the finest gourmet foods and more. Thank you, Zagat, for supplying our guest today with a guide. Listeners, if you're in New York, May 6th, Brooklyn Food Coalition Anniversary Party, come check us out. Other folks, get involved in your local community, changing your system in your neighborhood. Otherwise, thanks for listening to Hot Grease. Join me every Monday at 3:30 on Heritage Radio Network. Until then, always take the road less traveled.